Become a podcast buddy now and get exclusive access to the new podcast episodes. You can find more information about this on my website schulzekopp.de.
Welcome to this podcast.
Water Polo Expert Talk. Get the insights.
I would like to say that this Japan system was not created by me. So it's the former head coach, Yoji Omoto, created this style of water polo. So as I mentioned, for the Olympic Games, so we use European style water polo. And we were influenced by European water polo teams. And so we follow like this. So using center forward, and we use zone defense, but it doesn't fit for Japanese player because we are so small, so smaller than European player. So we changed the mindset. So Yoji Omoto changed his mind and totally change the water polo concept, mm-hmm. You know. So we started a press defense first, and so we call pass lane defense. So don't so Japan style. So we emphasize counter attack.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So this is the only way we can make a goal.
Okay. Yeah. So you have to adapt your game based on the player material or your physical things. Yeah, of the player. Yeah. So when you say, okay,
yes.
the European style of water polo is not really fitting for the Japanese player because they are not so tall, maybe as an Hungarian or Serbian player.
Yes, we have
to adapt our game based on the things we have here. And not playing the game of others, when we do not have the material for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So most important thing is make a more counterattack for Japanese team, you know. So we cannot make a score like 6-on-6. This is too hard to get a goal, you know.
Yeah. So it's absolutely in this case when you say it in this way, it makes absolutely sense to change the game plan for your team based on the players you have. So when you say, okay, I have fast players and quick players and flexible players, and they are in the water, they are able to move around the player three times in 30 seconds, I don't know, then I have to change my game plan and go on the counter attack, and saying, okay, we are not able to play against Serbia in a normal game, so when we play in front of the goal, it's quite not possible, it's not correct, but it's even harder to score a goal, instead of saying, okay, we are swimming each time and counter attack, it's much more easier for us, or for your team.
Yes. So our strong point is speed and agility.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to use this strong point here.
Yeah. Are there any, let's say specifics based on your opponent, or the other team on the other side, saying, okay, we have to somehow adapt these when we play against US and when we play against Hungary? So are there any small changes in the philosophy of the game then in front of these games? So that you say,
I didn't get it.
Yeah, so that you maybe have another or minor changes in your game plan when you say, mm-hmm. okay, I play against Hungary, for example, then the game plan is another one instead of playing against Germany or Spain, for example, that you have also to concentrate maybe on one or two players on the other side saying, okay, we go with the counterattack, but we have also to have the focus on one or two players on the other side. That you have to adapt your game plan in this case based on the opponent.
Yes, yes. So we used to use only one tactics. So like I mentioned, the only press defense or pass lane defense. But mm-hmm. now I changed the.
So that you are more flexible, maybe.
Yes. Now I try to more complex tactics. So mm-hmm. Sometimes we use zone defense too. Sometimes we use press defense too. Yeah. So we have to adjust against teams. Maybe Hungarian teams and USA teams is different teams and different player. So we have to adjust. And we need to use a variety of tactics, not only pass lane defense.
Yeah, so that you enhance maybe then your book of or your playbook, yeah, that you can say, okay, I have this kind of opponent then, and I have a rough idea about how to play against them, yeah, so that you are mm-hmm. able to adjust your game plan. Do you think from your personal point of view, think it's an advantage to be in previous player so that you are also play on a high level water polo and become a coach after the active career? So because there are also some kind of different philosophies flying around here. Yeah? So saying, okay, it's a good point to know what's going on in the water and how to or a player think instead of, okay, I do not have really played water polo on a high level and there are also good examples for coaches, successful coaches who are really not playing maybe in the national team or somehow. Do you think it's an advantage for you from your point of view?
Yes, I played Japan national team for more than 10 years. Yeah, 2002 to 2013, I think. Yeah, and so...
So basically, you say it's really an advantage to have these experiences, yeah. So that you have your own experiences as a player.
Yes.
Yeah. Are there any plans in your or during your active career saying, okay, at the end I will become a coach, or is it somehow by accident?
Yeah.
Like many others.
So after retiring, I went to a graduate school to study coaching. Mm-hmm. And I complete a graduate school, and I was a coach for men's and women's team at Nippon Sports Science University, so which is a champion in Japan.
Okay.
And two years later, I went to USA. So 2014 to 2016, I was hanging out with the USA water polo national team. I hanged out with Dejan Udovičić. Also,
which was also part of the podcast with, already.
yeah. Also, Adam Krikorian, who is a mm-hmm. Women's national head coach. So I learned from them about the water polo coach. Then I came back to Japan. Then I became assistant coach of a Japan national team. And after Tokyo Olympic Games, I became a head coach of Japan national team.
So before that, you really collect enough skills and information about being a coach then, yeah? So saying, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for the head coach. So after that, after the Olympic Games, when you mentioned you become the head coach, yeah. So So you really collected all the information. So are there any specific things you learned from these guys in the US saying, okay, this is already or still part of your training routine? Yeah. So are there any mm-hmm. one or two things you learned over the in the US saying, okay, this is still part of my coaching career?
Yes, I learned from them more legs training, legs practice.
So legs, yeah.
Yeah, legs, yeah, you know. So in Japan, there's a many swimming training.
Mm-hmm.
Less footwork or less legs, but in the US or in the Europe, so they have more legs practice. So yeah, I'm inspired of.
Yeah, so more legs is, I think.
More legs, yeah.
But it's not. It's very important to have good legs, and maybe this is also something. Then saying, okay, when the Japanese team in the past have really also the, yeah, not only but mainly to concentrate on the counter attack, and they are not able to compete with the players from Europe. When you say, okay, the level of the legs are so different. Yeah. So in this case, you have to concentrate on your benefits, saying, okay, I have a very flexible and fast team. I have to concentrate on the counter attack instead of saying, okay, I do not have all these legs work. Then we do not score so many center goals, for example. It's quite not possible based on the basics. Yeah. So when they are training so many legs over there in the US instead of maybe swimming in Japan. Yeah.
Legs are very important.
Yeah. And legs are not only important for the goalies. Yeah. So this is also a discussion I have so many times here in the podcast, also with the goalkeepers. Yeah. That not only for them is the working on the legs and the improvement of the legs really important point during the, yeah, let's say modern game of water polo, instead of maybe in the past it was not so important, maybe also for other players. What are the next things coming up right now with the national team for you and your team? So are there any, or what are the next big tournaments? Are there any things happened before the Olympic Games next year in Paris?
Yeah, next big competition is World Championships in Fukuoka in Japan, in July. So we have a World Championships here.
So are there any tournaments in Europe for your team also in the next couple of weeks or months?
No, we don't have. Yeah, we didn't qualify the World Cup final, Super Final, because we were fifth place in this group. So only two teams are qualified for Super Final. Okay. Two teams are going to US.
Yeah, so it's in Las Vegas.
In California.
California, yeah, exactly.
California, yeah. So before Fukuoka World Championships.
Okay. So and after that, then the next big thing is then Paris next year, right?
Yes. So before Paris, we have one more World Championships in Doha.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So these are really
so many championships.
Yeah, yeah, and so many games and so many tournaments for the players. Yeah. So maybe do we have, think also this is very not so. So the calendar it's really full. Yeah. So is it also for you and your players and your team an important point or not so good point that the calendar is so full?
But for us is not so full. It's good for Japanese players because as I mentioned, there is no professional league in Japan, so we need more game experience. So the World Championships and Olympic Games, so we are thirsty of the game.
Yeah. So for you and your team, it's really then a good thing maybe to have these kind of games and on an international level, because as you mentioned, the local league in Japan is not so professional, not so so big. Yeah. So that the players are really get the experience, and in addition to that, maybe then the point you mentioned before, it's even more important that you have players playing in Europe. Yeah, to give the to receive, to get the experiences then and the practice and the game practice before these kind of tournaments.
Yeah. After Fukuoka World Championships, we have a Asian game in September.
Okay.
So the Asian game has a qualification for Paris. So this is okay. The most important game.
Okay. Yeah. So in this case, I wish you all of luck for this tournament, for the qualification. Yeah. Yeah. So because it's fun, somehow strange or not so easy to talk about the Olympic Games with people like you, yeah, saying, okay, I wish you all of luck, but you are not already qualified. Yeah. So it's somehow not so easy to make any plans when you do not really know I will go to Paris. But yeah, it's really a big thing. Yeah. So for each athlete. Yeah. So each one I talk to here in the podcast saying, okay, this is for most of the people a lifetime experience, because Olympic Games, you participate maybe once in a lifetime or twice, whatever. But it's really, yeah, the biggest thing any athlete besides water polo can attend. Yeah, so it's really the biggest thing. So in this case, I wish you, as mentioned, all the best for you and your team, also especially for the qualification for Paris. Yeah, so yes. Maybe in this case we have the chance to see each other in person. Yeah, so because Paris is not so far away from Hanover. And yeah, so maybe I have a chance to come over to France, and I thank you for your time, for your information, for your insights, and it was very, very interesting.
Yeah, sorry about my English.
I do not have any problem with your English, because all the people listening to the podcast, they do not have any concerns about my English. So we are both not native speakers. So it's okay for me and also for all the others. Not a problem.
Thank
so, thanks. And I hope you see you soon, and wish you all the best, and have a nice evening.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I'm through.